hated and despised, as her divine founder was covered with hatred and contempt. Nevertheless, the Church goes fearlessly on, and while extending the kingdom of God in places where it has not yet been preached, she strives by every means to repair the losses inflicted on the kingdom already acquired. To restore all things in Christ has ever been the Church's motto, and it is specially ours in the perilous times in which we live. To restore all things, not in any fashion, but in Christ, that are in heaven and on earth in Him, adds the Apostle. To restore in Christ, not only what directly depends on the divine mission of the Church, to conduct souls to God, but also, as we have explained, that which flows spontaneously from this divine mission, Christian civilization in each and every one of the elements which compose it. End of quote. The other truth of the need our fallen nature has of the supernatural life of grace and of the maternal care of the Church in order to develop its natural qualities in harmonious and stable fashion is so admirably expressed by J. Maritain in the work already cited that no apology is offered for quoting the passage here. Quote, that the religion of Christ should penetrate culture to its very depths is not required merely from the point of view of the salvation of souls and in relation to their last end. In this respect, a Christian civilization appears as something truly maternal and sanctified, procuring the terrestrial good and the development of the various natural activities by sedulous attention to the imperishable interests and most profound aspirations of the human heart. It ought, from the point of view also of the specific ends of civilization itself, to be Christian. For human reason, considered without any relation whatever to God, is insufficient by its unaided natural resources to procure the good of men and nations. As a matter of fact, and in the conditions governing life at present, it is not possible for man to expand his nature in a fundamentally and permanently upright manner, unless under the sky of grace. Left to himself, he cannot but fail to achieve the difficult harmonies of the virtues, the difficult rational regulations, the pure consonances of justice and friendship, without which culture deviates from its most exalted ends. St. Augustine's words with reference to the state apply equally to civilization. The state does not derive its felicity from another source than man. For the state is merely a multitude of men living in harmony, and one name only has been given to men in which they may be saved. However great civilizations may be which ignore that name, they inevitably decline, in one respect or another, from the complete notion of civilization and culture. Order and liberty become equally cruel therein. Even an authentically Christian civilization does not escape many accidental blemishes. Only a Christian civilization can be exempt from essential deviations. End of quote. For St. Thomas, as we have seen in a previous chapter, contemplation is the end of civil government. Not that civil government is meant to aim at it as its proportionate end, but because it can prepare for it as for a higher end, superior to political ends and preferable to them. Thus, when a tiller of the soil makes ready the ground for planting, he is preparing for the flowers and fruits that will spring from the cultivated soil. Civilization, as we have already said, has directly in view the development of human nature here below. But immediately, it is ordained to the kingdom of God, that is, to the order of eternal and supernatural life begun here below, and it is from the kingdom of God that it must receive the supreme rule and measure. Civilization is the development of the truly human life of the state. It belongs of itself to the natural order, metaphysics, art, science, politics, civic virtues. But it cannot attain its full development except under the supernatural sky of the Church. Christian civilization is the overflow of the kingdom of heaven. It is the impress of the mystical body of Christ on man's natural social organization. Accordingly, as man's contemplation of God in the actual world is meant to be not merely natural but supernatural, that civilization is simply and absolutely the most perfect in which the well-being and moral rectitude of society is sought in a manner calculated to pave the way for supernatural contemplation. Such a civilization may be surprised by others in a certain department or departments, but these latter will lack the harmony and power of recuperation of the former. For the true progress of a people, the rulers must ever keep these principles in view. true progress will always respect the line of formal development of man. It will give rise to qualitative civilizations, such as was the civilization of Greece in the 4th century before the birth of our Lord, and in a higher degree, the civilization of Western Europe in the 13th century. If a people's attention is diverted from things spiritual and turned to material conquests, to the cultivation of the useful, that is, of whatever serves as a means of furthering human intercourse and ministers to a man's bodily needs and comforts, the whole direction of life gradually changes. The means become the